Yes, Proverbs 17 and verse 10. This is very interesting, particularly in light of the idea of spanking. Look what it says. A reproof, that's verbal, entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, 100 stripes would have been forbidden by God's law. You know that. But what God is saying here is this proverb, this principle. A reproof, that which is verbal, in contrast with stripes, physical, corporal punishment. You have reproof versus stripes, verbal versus physical. You also have a reproof, single, singular, one reproof, one verbal reproof, in contrast with 100 stripes. You further have this contrast between the wise man on the one hand and the fool on the other. This is a pretty startling statement, isn't it? It's emphasizing the fact that you cannot make a fool wise by beating him. Now, Christian parents are going to have to understand this. Spanking is not the answer. Spanking is not the problem. We have to understand that we have to reach their heart. Now, having said that, when the scripture says a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool, we have to be very wise to understand that our goal as parents from the very earliest days is to understand that we don't want to rest or rely too much on the spanking. We want to get to the reproof because we want to get to their heart. And a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 strikes into a fool. There's a principle there we want to really try to hold on to. If a parent spanks in frustration in order to change immediate behavior alone, that can happen with spanking. The parent gets frustrated, gets to the end of his own rope. Perhaps a spanking would be the overflow of his own sinfulness, his own lack of self-control, his own lack of prayer, his own lack of faith in God, his own discontent with why doesn't God do something with this child. So we need to be very careful as Christian parents to understand, yes, it is true that God called you as a parent to be God's tool in that child's life, but it is just as true that God is using that child in your life. Very, very significant truth to hold on to. God gave to you the child that God needs to work in you. That's why it's so dangerous to compare a child in one family to a child in that same family, let alone a child in another family. See? So we back up theologically and we bow before our God. We say, God, you are at work in a masterful way. Nothing left to chance. You know this is what I need. Matter of faith. If a parent spanks in frustration in order to change immediate behavior alone, he communicates to the child that the child is a fool. He communicates to the child that the child is a fool. He communicates to the child that you frustrate me. He communicates to the child that you are hopeless, you are worthless, you are a pain in the neck. Oh, we need to be careful that we do not communicate to our children that they're a failure. Oh, I have to deal with you again. Never do we want to communicate that. We want to communicate love, acceptance. You are better than this. That's what we want to communicate. I believe in you. I am not spanking you because you frustrate me. I'm spanking you because you are destroying yourself. Because I want you to glorify God. Because I want you to live for the glory of God. Because I want you to enjoy the fullness of the abundance of the perfections of all that God has created and even redeemed us from the sin so that we can be enjoying the fullness of what it means to be made in the very image of God. He wants to restore that image in you. See? So you need to be very careful. A godly parent uses corporal punishment to instill hope. Not hopeless. To instill courage. My daddy's for me. You know, a godly parent is going to use corporal punishment as a means to an end. The spanking needs to be communicating to the child, I will not let sin win in your life. I will not. You and I, child, are together on this. Sin's the enemy. We're going to fight that thing. You and I am on your side, but I am against sin. You line up with sin, you're on the other side of me. But I am going to fight sin. You need to help me. I'm going to fight sin. When you sin, then you know you're going to see that fight. That's what we need to help them to understand. I'll help you. A godly parent must aim for what this verse is talking about. Effective reproof, not just physical coercion. You know, a parent perhaps at the young age of a child can physically coerce that child. And come to the point where they have the idea that, wow, boy, we're doing a good job, maybe even humbly, but we're doing a good job. We're thankful for where the children are. Yeah, but you're not home yet. Don't give up. You must get to their heart. You must reach their mind. You must reach their thinking. They must make these choices not because they fear consequence, but because they love Jesus. See? The goal is not control. The goal of spanking is not control. The goal is a thinking and wise child who understands that both his parent and his God is worth following. Proverbs 17:19. Look at 29:15. We've looked at this a number of times. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." Again, last week we looked at this just a bit, but last week we brought out the idea that the rod is the metaphor, if you will, for the physical corporal punishment, the physical correction, the spanking. On the other hand, the reproof, that's not physical, it's verbal. And of course, this verse is bringing out this idea that it's both, not one or the other. We don't want to have the rod only, we don't want to have reproof only. It's possible sometimes perhaps to weigh too heavily on the rod. Too heavily on the physical and not the verbal. And then on the other hand, it's possible to go the other extreme, too much on the verbal and enough on the physical. And this is not a science. It's not 3 + 2 = 5. This is not a science. That's why you can go out how to spank the children. I don't know that you could buy that anymore, but how to concept of parenting. Did you ever stop to think, why didn't God tell us in the Scripture exactly, okay, here's what you do? Why didn't He do that? Because God's goal is not that the child gets spanked. God's goal is that the dad walks with God. God's goal is that the mom walks with God. That's the idea. There is no shortcut. There's no other way. You say, well, I'd like my kids to be okay. I don't want them to become Boston Marathon bombing terrorists. I'd like my kids not to do that. I'd like my kids not to really embarrass me. I'd like my kids to be, you know, kind of be nice Christian people. But I, you know, for me, I think I have enough Christianity. Well, your kids are going to know that. If you're not passionate about the Lord, why should they be? And let me go further. If you're not passionate about the Lord, you can mark it down. They will not be. They won't. They won't. That's not to say that if they're not, that you're not passionate about the Lord. We don't go there. But a child who grows up, you know, the whole idea of an inoculation, this idea that, you know, if you get a vaccine, you're getting just a little bit of the disease, and it's authentic and it's genuine, but just a little bit so that your body can build up antibodies against it and you don't get the full disease. And that's what happens sometimes in a church like this. If, you know, you bring your children and they keep hearing the preacher and they keep hearing the Word of God and they keep seeing the Word of God and these principles, but they go home and they see, okay, well, in church, this is what I'm seeing and I'm hearing and this is what that says about God. But when I go home, I just hear fighting and bickering and strife and division and discontent and you know, gossip and
on and on and on. There's pride and there's anger and there's, you know, jealousy and there's all of this stuff. So
okay, well, I guess church doesn't really work, or at least it doesn't work for my folks. So why would I want that? Why do they keep on acting like they love God when they keep acting like it's real? They even put money in the plan, but it's not changing their lives. I don't want it. It happens all the time. Why? It's not God that's the problem. It's what's modeled in the home. The rod and reproof give wisdom. That comes out of the fullness of the parents' walk with God. Now, I'm referring tonight to a book by Lou Priolo, Teach Them Diligently. I had to read this for a class recently this last year. The subtitle is How to Use the Scriptures in Child Training. When I went through this book some months ago, I marked this chapter because I thought, I want to share this with you. And this is where the questions come from. By the way, you're welcome to this book if somebody wants it. Maybe not to have it, but certainly to read it. But I'd like to read something to you. He gave a really interesting illustration here about this idea that the rod and reproof give wisdom, the physical and the verbal. I thought this was very attention-getting. Listen to this. Spanking alone simply is not enough. The rod must be accompanied by verbal confrontation and instruction in order for it to be effective. Can you imagine? How would you respond after being pulled to the side of the road by a policeman and then carried off to jail, having never been spoken to by the arresting officer? How would you feel if, at your first court appearance, you were fined $750 and sentenced to 6 months in prison by a judge who never said a word to you, but simply wrote his verdict on a card and handed it to the bailiff to carry out the sentence? Imagine how frustrating it would be as you sat in prison, not knowing what laws you had violated or for how long you'd have to be incarcerated. You'd probably be more angry at the system for robbing you of justice than you would be grieved over your own alleged transgression of the law. The same principle holds true for your children. You must verbally teach, convict, correct, and train your children to do so with the scriptures when you find it necessary to chastise them. To do otherwise is to provoke them to anger. I would just add one caveat there. You know, don't wait until you can explain to your children to spank them. That illustration can help to illustrate to us what it would be like as an adult to have the punishment, if you will, without the verbal reinforcement. There is no such thing as biblical spanking of adults. Okay? All spanking is to children. Don't think, okay, there you go. I'm not going to spank to my children until I can explain to them why. If you wait that long, you lost them. It's too late. You can start spanking them, or at least corporal punishment. You can start physical reinforcement to them before they talk. There's no question about that. And you can get them trained in the right direction and get them going in the right direction and reinforcing in them. You can have, there are some children that very early in life, you can have a dramatic influence on them just with your countenance. Just saying to them firmly, no! They'll respond. Some won't. I think Janice probably would have. Me? Would have been water for duck's back. Some of you are like that. Everybody's different. Use the tools that the individual child uses. Our four kids, they're as different, every single one of them. We're radically, totally, completely unique. You know that. You know that. If you know our four kids, you know that. You know that. They're just as different as they could possibly be. Just completely different people. And that uniqueness is what God is speaking of when he says, I believe when he says, train up a child in the way he should go. We're not trying to make cookie cutters. We're trying to find out who they were individually. Some of our kids had a lot more spankings than others. And on and on and on. But anyway, okay. With a very young child, there's more rod and less reproof. Right? If we were to chart this thing, in fact, there's a little chart in the book. But if we were to graph this thing, when a child is really young, what are you going to have? You know, the rod's going to be way up here, but reproof's going to be way down here. And you can't talk to them, they don't understand. But the goal is that the rod decreases. And the reproof is going to increase. And can I say this? This was my passion as a dad. And to some degree, I think, I don't know, I believe we've achieved this. My goal was not
that the rod would go down and the reproof would go up so that I could influence them. My goal was that I could fellowship with my kids as adults. My goal was that when I'm an old goat, and I have achieved that, that my kids would respect me and want my counsel. Not that they bow down and say, oh, if I don't do what Dad says, then I'm a dirtball. No. But that at least they would respect my counsel as much as someone else. And at least they'd want to hear, you know, and know that they could ask for it and know that I'd shoot straight with them. I wanted that. You know what? Right? Well, I mean, why would a 30-year-old do that if a 15-year-old won't? And if we buy into this worldly idea that, well, children, they know that teenagers just go through their wild times. Jill, you know, they just sow their wild oats. If you buy that, you will not practice what the Word of God dealt with this morning when your children go off. That is the time to get desperate when you see tiny little seeds and not, oh, well, you know, guys will be guys. Yeah, guys will be guys. Yep. That won't be any comfort to you when he gets somebody pregnant. That won't be any comfort to you when that son of yours goes off and says, Dad, we're just having fun. And drives off and kills somebody. It won't be fun then. We need to let the Word of God, the theology of Scripture, grab and control and constrain our hearts. As a child matures, there should be less rod and more reproof. Don't we understand that we cannot spank our children indefinitely? So we must aim for them to value our counsel into their adult lives, really for all of life. So let me go over these questions with you. Okay, I put them in your notes. We'll go over these quickly. I won't make a lot of comments. There's a lot of overlap in these, but and the book actually's got, I don't know how many pages, but it's there's a whole chapter on this. 15 pages just with the illustration I gave you, and then the questions. But anyway, so here they are. These aren't mine. This is Priolo's. But anyway, and they're designed to help a parent think carefully and biblically about this idea of spanking. There are 14 of them. The first one is the concept of teaching in the milieu, understood and practiced in your home. Well, you might say, what in the world does that mean? Okay, here's what it is. Teaching in the milieu. It's just the idea of day to day, you know, through the day as life happens. Is that when they're learning about Jesus? Listen, let's bring them to the formal times at church. Let's put them in Sunday school. Let's get our children involved in family devotions. Let's get our children learning how to have their own private devotions. Let's do that by all means. But that's not going to cut it. The idea is day to day, moment by moment, as we go through life, and they see us struggling with life, and we tell them what Bible principle we are applying right now. And they ask us a question, and we respond and say, well, you know, honey, you know, and here's what I know about this. I know that we need to respect other people, and I know that we have to be aware of pride, and we have to be humble, and I know that we need to love people and help them think that through and sort it through. That's the idea. Deuteronomy 6 is a classic passage on this. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. What's it saying? All the time. Now, how can that happen? How can it happen where a mom and a dad are continually quoting Scripture, continually helping a child think through things biblically? That can only happen when it's the overflow of the heart that's already doing that. See, that's where God holds our own feet to the fire as a mom and dad, where, you know, if it's not a matter of, well, I had devotions this morning, so I'll trust God to work through me. That's not it. It's not about having devotions. It's not about going to church. That's legalistic. It's about walking with God. It's not that, okay, I checked off all these different things, read my Bible, prayed, okay, God, where are you? Well, God's right there. God is there. We need to walk with Him. And so, yeah. The second one is, do you talk regularly about why you must spank your children when they disobey? You know? Number three, is verbal confrontation ongoing? Four, is your communication always with grace?
Great point. Always with grace. No, that's the idea of your own submission, giving hope. Do you take your child to a private place where he can be dealt with in privacy? And you know, your generation has to be even more careful with this than my generation. My generation had to be very careful. Your generation had to be even more careful. I mean, we grew up in a day. Now, one thing that my generation had differently than your generation is when we started homeschooling our children, that was punishable. That was against the law in places where we lived. It was not protected, not like it is now. HSLDA did not exist. Bob Jones University did not put out materials. Abeka didn't put out homeschool materials. Homeschooling, Bob Jones University was totally against homeschooling when we started doing it. It's cultural changes. But that was something we had to deal with. And if you homeschool or whatever, you're not going to have that. But let me tell you, you know this. You spank your children in public, you might lose them. You might lose them. You're going to have to be really careful about that, you know. And you say, well, we're just spanking. I know people. I have a student in my own class through Virginia Baptist College, Virginia guy, who he was desperate, got in touch with me about, you know, having to go before a judge because of spanking, and he had no idea who would have reported him. It was his mother-in-law. Christian. A Christian lady. Who just, I don't know, something happened. There was some tweak. But, you know, they thought they were on the same page. Wife thought they were on the same page. But she got tweaked about something. And she said something to somebody who said something to somebody who said something to somebody, and he got back. And he got a knock on his door. He needed to go to a judge. Now, thankfully, he was able to take the Word of God and very humbly say, this is the way I understand what the Word of God says, and I'm totally against abuse, and he was fine. But you talk about threatening. You talk about some money. You talk about tying up life and heart and that sort of thing. I was able to help. It was a wonderful experience for me because I was able to help walk him through some different things just because I happened to be teaching. This is a couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago. Anyway, private place. Yeah, be careful. Number six, when you believe that physical discipline is necessary in addition to the ongoing verbal instruction, do you ensure that your child understands exactly what he's done wrong and that you must spank him for his actions? Some of these things are obviously for older children. Number seven, does your child understand in biblical terminology how he has sinned against God? That's a really good point. I can remember with our children, when we would catch them early in a lie, I'd take them to John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. I didn't have to preach it to them. I just read it to them. I just let them read what God says about lying. Just let the Word of God do its work. It's a very powerful book. You say, oh, well, it's just a lie. It's not just a lie. God says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Let your children read that verse. They're not going to get that from the culture. Say, let the Word of God do its work. You say, I don't know where those verses are. Find them. Find them. Call me. I'll help you find them. You know, it's not. You don't have to know them. You just have to share them with them. But yeah, use the scripture. Okay. Number eight. Do you secure the child's acknowledgement that the spanking is an appropriate course of action required by the scriptures before you spank? This is older. This isn't a preschool kid. I don't think. Or it'd be pretty unusual. Well, I think that'd be pretty unusual to get to that level with a preschooler. Number nine, is it nine? Yeah. Do you use a practiced and predictable method to spank your children? That is, just establish the routine and then follow it, adjust it for the age, that sort of thing. Do you proclaim the gospel to the child? When could there be a better time to proclaim the gospel? Jesus was killed for our sin. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. This is a picture of the punishment of lawbreaking. Sin. That's what this is. I mean, it's... You say, oh no, we're just trying to control their behavior. But you're not thinking theologically, say. Do you discuss with the child how he could have handled the problem differently by following God's directives in the Bible? It's grand. We don't know how to do that unless we know how to do that. In other words, we don't know how to tell the child how to do it unless we know how to practice it. And let me say, as a dad, it was so helpful to me to be able to share with my children, let me tell you what I'm struggling with sometimes. Just here's what I'm struggling with. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, I thought Dad walked on water. They learned early on. They learned from me. They didn't have to come to me and prove to me my faults because they knew. I told them. It's Sometimes teenagers get so angry at their parents because they see the hypocrisy. And the parents won't be honest. And you know, don't force your children to confront you. Just be honest with them. You're struggling. Tell them. Let them know. I don't mean to air your dirty laundry, but when it's obvious, you get angry at their mom, let them know. I was wrong. I was wrong. I yelled at your mom. I lost my patience. I was arrogant. I was proud. I was wrong. I was impatient there. You know, we're driving down the road, and I... You stupid idiot! Why didn't you turn your tickle?
Yeah, you better repent of that. Or else that kid's going to get really good at doing that. I mean, he'll be talking like that before he even has his license. You taught him. You trained him. Right? And this is where the rubber meets the road. And
number 12, do you use the scriptures to correct and instruct your child in righteousness? Do you require the child to make any necessary restitution to other offended parties? Do you comfort and pray with your child when you're finished spanking the child? Let me tell you, number 14, that's the earliest age. I mean, you don't have to wait till it doesn't. That child might not even know what you're saying, but you can talk to Jesus and pour your heart out and tell the Lord, Lord, man, I hate this part of child rearing. Help my child to be an angel! Right? You know, the little baby's born, and
he is a sinner. He doesn't have to learn to sin. Right? He doesn't have to learn to be proud. He doesn't have to learn to gossip. He doesn't need any training in lying. He doesn't need any training being selfish. It is Adamic. It is just as normal for them to sin and defy God as it is for an apple tree to have apples. That's nature. That's the biblical metaphor there. So they don't need to learn. They desperately need somebody that believes in God and believes in them enough to be the difference. That's called dad and mom. Let me leave you with one verse. This is in Hebrews. The scripture says, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You cannot have chastening without grief. If you say, well, I just want to avoid conflict. You should have thought that through before you got married. It's too late now. You're in the army. Do your job. Do your job. For God's sake, for your sake, for the children's sake. Let's pray.